Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science. Find over 200 job openings at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back. We're going to take a break from our tornado coverage to hear about a dispute between Apple and the federal government. Between 2009 and 2012, Apple shifted at least $74 billion to overseas subsidiaries, making that money untaxable by the IRS. That's the conclusion of a congressional investigation released yesterday. And today, Apple's chief executive, Tim Cook, is appearing before the Senate Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations to defend his company's tax strategy.
We pay all the taxes we owe, every single dollar. We not only comply with the laws, but we comply with the spirit of the laws. We don't depend on tax gimmicks.
But the committee members are angry, not only about what they consider Apple's tax dodge, but the larger impact of Apple's tactics on the rest of the tax base, including individual tax-paying Americans. Here's Senator Carl Levin from Michigan, who chairs the committee holding today's hearings.
The offshore tax avoidance tactics do real harm. They disadvantage domestic U.S. companies. They offload Apple's tax burden onto other taxpayers, particularly onto working families and small businesses. The lost tax revenue feeds a budget deficit that has reached troubling proportions. It has helped lead to round after round of budget slashing and the ill-advised sequestration that now threatens our economic recovery.
With us from Washington is Anna Palmer, senior Washington correspondent for Politico. And Anna, this situation has to do with Apple shifting its profits to offshore subsidiaries, some with no physical offices or even any employees. That's even though Apple is, of course, managed and controlled in California. And Senator Levin, who we just heard from, has called this the holy grail of tax avoidance. Would you walk us through how this setup has let Apple avoid taxes on some of its income?
Sure. So Apple, like many companies, you know, are based in the U.S., and its headquarters are in California, and they do quite a bit of manufacturing here. That is something that we've heard their CEO, Tim Cook, respond to some of these the allegations of kind of offshore tax havens. But they do have offices in other countries, and one of the kind of particular ones that has caused ire with Congress is three operations out of Ireland where the company did not pay any taxes to any country, not just the U.S., but to anyone, and so they of the $44 billion.
And, you know, it seems noteworthy that Apple didn't send its CFO today to talk to the Senate, but its CEO, Tim Cook. And, you know, in his opening testimony, Cook himself is saying a simplification of the tax law is needed. He's even laying out recommendations on how to do that. And he seems to be saying that the system somehow needs to encourage companies to bring money back to the U.S. What is he suggesting be changed, and then how is Congress receiving those suggestions?
Sure. I mean, there's a huge debate going on right now in Congress over tax reform and having a comprehensive overhaul of the system. And companies like Apple have said that they support this, that they want to have a simplification. They want to lower the corporate tax rate because right now the U.S. has a very high tax rate compared to many other countries at 35%. And what Tim Cook is saying and has said publicly before and is saying before Congress is even though Apple's overall tax bill, which was about $6 billion last year, that even though it would probably go up, they still support it because it would mean more companies would have more, they would want to do more business in the U.S.
And so Tim Cook is saying, let us bring the money back. We'll pour it into things like R&D. But it seems that Congress and other people are skeptical that if the money does come back, that's really what it will be used for.
Sure, it's unclear whether Apple or other high-tech companies, which have also been criticized and faced this panel, would ever bring back the billions of dollars that they have that have already been overseas. I think Apple has about $100 billion right now is the figure that we're hearing in overseas countries. But in terms of, you know, what they're going to do in the future, that's where this would really have an impact, companies are saying, particularly for Apple, which they've announced they want to do more U.S. manufacturing and have plans to do, I believe it's a $100 million project in the next year in terms of doing U.S.-based manufacturing.
This issue is not limited to Apple, Google, Microsoft, HP. They've all come under scrutiny for this. And the Washington Post quotes an economist saying that companies would be stupid not to do this. So how widespread is this kind of tax tactic?
it's very widespread, and this Senate hearing is really a way for lawmakers to almost embarrass the company, but they've done it before. They had Hewlett-Packard, they had Microsoft last year go before them, and it certainly didn't change the company's decision to, you know, in terms of how they were going to try to lower their tax bill. And if you're a shareholder for Apple, in some ways, you know, you want the company to maximize the tax code that's in play now in this country and abroad.
And the Senate itself seems to be saying this is not illegal. You know, it's just the tax code being used to maximum advantage. So in that sense, is it wrong to look at Apple as a villain? Is it simply a very tax code savvy company?
Well, I think what they're trying to do is use Apple as a spotlight on the tax code and the need for reform and how this system is broken. It is something that Senator Levin, the chairman of this committee, has really, it's been kind of a hobby horse of his, an issue that's very important to him, and he is trying to almost embarrass companies as a way to get news and headlines and people like you and me talking about the issue.
And if the companies themselves, people like Tim Cook and the Senate, both seem to agree that reform needs to happen, what is preventing that reform from happening?
An overhaul of the tax code hasn't happened in a comprehensive way since 1986. So it is would be a massive undertaking, because as much as everyone says, oh, we'd love to reform the tax code, then at the same time you have individual companies saying, oh, but not me, not my tax credit, not my loophole. You know, I really need that. And so it becomes a very, very complicated situation where, you know, you have a lot of different special interests wanting to keep their different provisions, and it becomes a long and kind of laborious process, particularly given that it would happen in what would be probably an election year.
So it sounds like prospect of change not all that soon. That's Anna Palmer. She's a senior Washington correspondent for Politico. Thank you.
Thanks.
Tomorrow on Here and Now, we'll have the latest from Oklahoma as residents of Moore and surrounding communities deal with the aftermath of their latest tornado. Also, cultural commentator Torre on the significance of Prince to Generation X. And still ahead today, what if you were hired based on a computer algorithm and not after interviews with employers? It's actually already happening for some tech jobs. News is next, Here and Now.